Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for October 3, 2022. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Fortress. If you're not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system, and you can learn more about it by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now to allow for emergency traffic or for stations to disconnect from the conference if they do not want to hang around for our net. I am Alpha Bravo 9 Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu via Echolink node 9229, the TechLink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, the E7KI, for letting us use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all radio amateurs and is not restricted to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussions, but this week I couldn't think of a good one, so this is going to be an open mic net. Anything that's on your mind is fair game. And I can see that there's really only two stations here, and we're both regular, so I'm not going to explain how we work this. If new stations show up, I will do that. So let me just acknowledge that I see KD9NDJ, and I see that the NB0X DMR / All-Star Gateway is active, but we'll see if there's any stations there. So at this time, I will ask if there are any stations that did not hear their call sign. Would like to check in this week. Please come forward now. Okay, nothing heard, so I'll start going down the list. The only other station here is KD9NDJ. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Wayne. KD9NDJ here. I guess we can bat it back and forth for a while. Topic. Well, I went for a big old bike ride yesterday, and it wasn't all that big, actually, but it was a lot of driving. I drove out to Bloomington Normal, and Del came with me. We were packing some radio gear. I had an HT, and I did the bike ride. The bike ride was along the former Route 66. They turned that into a rail-to-trail, but I guess in this case, historic old highway to trail. It ends up in sort of downtown Normal. And so she had the Anytone in the truck, and it turned out to be a good thing. I tuned it up to Simplex, 146-400 or something like that. And at the end of my biking, it was back and forth on the radio that allowed us to figure out where we were, although I was transmitting a beacon via APRS.fi. Anyway, that's my story for the week, kind of radio-esque, radioactive. And what's up with you, Wayne?
Well, I don't have anything really exciting. Your bicycling trip sounds more adventurous than anything I've done today. Was Dell following you in the vehicle, or was she like parked somewhere and waiting for you to finish the ride?
She actually did follow for a while. There was really no, there's a little parking lot up at the trailhead, which is a couple of miles north of Towanda. Towanda is sort of central, and that is from whence the trail takes its name. It's Towanda Route 66 bike path. She was driving back and forth on Route 66 there. But at a certain point, as you get down to Normal, the trail diverges into town, and she couldn't find me, and she was on the radio trying to figure out where I was. So, yeah, she was following me, or trying to.
So the trail that you were riding, was it a separate thing from the actual highway? It wasn't just like, you know, a wide shoulder, right?
Well, it was off to the side of, there's still, I mean, Route 66 still exists there, and they're still calling it Old Route 66. It goes a lot, it's parallel to I-55. But the bike path itself is an asphalt segment of what looks like probably the original paving of some earlier form of Route 66 for a while, and then you get diverted off to the left shoulder, but the bike path is asphalt all the way. It gets kind of junked up as you get down towards Normal. There's a lot of asphalt that got flung up from traffic, and there's a lot of traffic, so anyway, it was Saturday. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I like that group, the Rails to Trails Conservancy. It's excellent.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got some other things around here. They're busy developing a trail from Champaign-Urbana all the way over to Danville. And it's getting close to completion. I think it's down to, well, I don't really remember the exact mileage, but it's getting close there. So anyway, I think you can go, I'm pretty sure you can go all the way from Urbana to St. Joseph, and maybe you can go as far as Ogden. I don't think it goes as far as Homer. I'm not even sure Homer's on the route. Anyway, I probably would not waste time talking about this on the net, except for the fact that you and I are the only ones here. So let me see, is anyone else here? Right, I guess not. You know, I had hoped to get it back into riding this year, but I received a gift of an interesting bike earlier in the spring. But unfortunately, somebody stole it. So now I'm back where I started from. So I'm kind of bummed out about that. So, yeah, anyway, maybe next year. I'll pass it back to you, Ken, if you have anything to say.
Man, that's terrible that somebody took your bike. That's awful. People, what can you do? Anyway, I've been enjoying the biking. I started earlier in the summer, like in the late spring, May sometime, with that bike trail you're talking about, the one that's supposed to go to Danville. And it would be great if it got finished, but at the moment, it only goes to St. Joseph from the Walmart in Urbana. And then there's another segment of it that goes between Kickapoo, roughly, and Oakwood. And the thing about the Kickapoo side is that there's this enormous, way high off the ground rail bridge, which I'm not really afraid of heights, but, you know, going over that thing made me a little bit freakazoid. It was great. But that is just a three, it's like 3-point-something miles. It's not very much. So it would be great if it got finished, but I don't see the political will to do it at this point. Anyway, back to you. You could ask again for more check-ins. Otherwise, we can bat it back and forth and then say bye-bye. But it's good to talk to you, Wayne.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a political issue. I think the politics are all lined up. It's just money. So if they can raise the funds to pay for it, then it will happen. So keep your fingers crossed about that. Let's see, what else? There was something else you said. The concert on Tuesday. Unfortunately, that happens right around the same time that we have a board meeting for the Ham Radio Club. And I don't know if we're going to be doing it in person this month or in Zoom, but either way, I may not be able to tune in to or attend the concert. So I'm wondering, is it going to be recorded so that I can play it back later on?
That's a good question. There was talk of streaming it from gig is at the School of Music Auditorium, and they were talking about streaming what happens there. But it's not exactly music from top to bottom. It's really a David Rosenboom lecture with some stuff regarding Salvatore Martorano. There's a 10-minute blast on the Salmar that Greg and I are going to do. And then David has asked us to demonstrate some things, which in the case of the Salmar is dicey because you never know what it's really going to do. It's, the whole thing about it is that it's an aleatoric engine. But as far as being recorded, I would assume that the School of Music is going to record it, and I would definitely be keen to have that. I've made a ton of recordings on the Salmar lately in the course of rehearsal, and I want to keep going because for me, it's like getting involved in another composer's work, which is a tradition in the composition. So, and it's a great instrument. It's amazing. It's amazing that it's never been made into a piece of software like just about every other commercial synth. But it's not commercial, so there you have it. It's a museum piece. So, back to you, Wayne.
Yeah, the article in the paper was kind of cryptic, but it made it sound like something very unusual. So it just made me all the more wishing that I would have a chance to hear the concert in spite of the board meeting on Tuesday. All right, so let me see. Are there any other stations listening who are itching to check into our net this week? Okay, nothing heard. Ah, so let's see. Anything else going on here? There was talk about the Ham Radio Club having a parking lot, not exactly a ham fest, but a sort of a swap meet this month. So I think we'll probably finalize the plans for that on Tuesday. So anyway, if you've got some stuff you want to get rid of, or maybe you're shopping for some stuff, then that might be something to look forward to in about 10 or 12 days. So, let's see. Let me pass it back to you, Ken, see if you have anything to talk about.
Looks to me like Guillermo is on the dashboard here, so you might want to call again.
Ah, yes, I see. He just popped up here. So, I have to get my magnifier out here. Hotel Kilo 4, Kilo Mike, Guillermo. This is AB9FJ, the net control this week. We're having a very small net this week. Probably won't last very long. We do not have a particular topic this week. It's one of those open mic nets where anything that's on your mind is on topic. So let you have a chance to greet us and say what's on your mind. Go ahead. This is AB9FJ.
Okay, thank you. Good evening to all. My name is Guillermo. I'm from Medellin in Colombia. This is my second time, I think, on here. I'm sorry I'm late. I almost forgot the time. And so I don't know what you guys were talking about. You said something about no special topic tonight. I just wanted to come on and say hi to all. I'm new here in this group, so looking forward to more programs and listening to all of you and what you have to say, and just want to learn some more things. Okay, so I'll give it back to Ned. This is Hotel Kilo 4, Kilo Mike. Thanks.
Well, you might be able to educate us a bit here. I think you were the only station from Colombia that has checked into our net, at least in my memory here. So I'm kind of curious what ham radio in Colombia is like. For example, what do you have to do to get a license in Colombia? Do you have to take a test? Is it a hard test? are there fees? Is it expensive to get a ham license? Do you have clubs who can help you? Or, you know, if it's expensive to get a personal license, can you join a club and therefore operate a club station and without all the expense of getting your own license for your own station? So anyway, we have talked to other hams in the net here, like there's the other Guillermo who's from Brazil. We have several from Australia. I'm trying to think who else we've had. We had a station from Germany. I think we've had someone from Argentina. So we've had a number of non-United States stations check in with us and let us know what ham radio is like in their homes. So anyway, let's see. I don't see any new stations on the dashboard here. So back to you, Guillermo. What is ham radio like in Colombia?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, I've been a ham for over 10 years now. Here we have three types of licenses. The first one is the novice license, then there's a first class, and then there's an advanced. I have the latter, the advanced class. I really worked hard at getting at getting those licenses as fast as possible because I wanted to be able to do more things. And I guess that's about the same thing in every country. So when you're a novice, the licenses are not HK, but Hotel Juliet, okay? And privileges are on 40 meters, 10 meters, and that's about it, unless you can do CW, and then you get to use the portion of the other bands on CW. But not many people are able to do that. I wasn't able to do it when I started. So I did work PSK 31 back then and worked a lot on 10 meters with that. And I was able to, there's a requirement that you have to have, so I can't remember the number of contacts, QSOs confirmed to be able to go up to the next category, which is first class, but it's very hard to do it that way. But I managed to do it. I sent my all my paperwork in. You do have to take a test. The first test is like 15 questions. It's very easy. The second one, not too hard, and the final one is not hard at all. So I would say that you're getting a license to learn, to get educated, and learn from what you're doing, not that you know everything when you start off. So there's a fee. You have to pay a fee, but it's only every 10 years. So I'm due to renew next year. And it's not very expensive, considering all you get to do in those 10 years. So, yeah, I'll be renewing mine next year. And before, at the beginning, I was Hotel Juliet 4, which is my region here. We have 10 regions from 0 to 9, and I was Hotel Juliet 4 GSL, which are my initials, then HK 4 GSL, and then when I moved up to advanced, I got the Kilo Mic, which I really liked. So back to net, I hope I answered the questions you had.
Yes, fascinating. Very good information there, Guillermo. There are a couple of things that I was wondering. You mentioned, you know, like 40 meters and 10 meters, but you didn't say anything about VHF and UHF. And I guess I'm assuming that all of the license classes down there include permissions on VHF and UHF. And I'm curious, why did you, I mean, it's, Up here in the States, you know, a lot of people like to get their initials as the suffix of their call sign. It sounds like you had those and you gave them up. And so I'm just kind of curious, what is the attraction of Kilo Mike that you like so much?
Okay, yeah. I really like the shorter call sign, 2x2. And I like the KM in CW, so because that's what I want to concentrate on mostly. I've done just about anything on ham radio except probably microwaves or moon bounds or something like that. And also VHF, UHF, yes, we get those from the beginning. You can do 2 meters, no problem. And there are clubs here, but I don't know. And I've been in the clubs. I've been a member of the board of the clubs and all that. And right now I'm only a member of our major, you know, club in Colombia, which is the Liga Colombiana de Radio Aficionados, which is the name in Spanish, which is the League of Ham Radio here, lcra.org.co. And I'm a member. I'm also the IARU liaison for Colombia, for Region 2 here. And I haven't seen much action there, but I do represent the league here for them. And I'm very much into QRP. I've been operating QRP for many years now. You can check out my QRSET page where I talk about that. I've run a blog in Spanish, and now I've moved on to Gemini Space with a new blog, which I hope to keep up because the other one I had abandoned for a while. So that's what else I can tell you about my call sign, and which I don't think I'll ever change again. And that's the news from down here in Medellin, which is Colombia's second largest city. Roger.
Okay, really cool stuff there, Guillermo. I have two more things. One of how old were you when you got your ham license there? You sound like you're pretty mature there. So I'm thinking you were like an adult when you got into it, rather than like a kid or a teenager. And the other thing was, what was that on the tip of my tongue? Are you a member of the SDF? Because Gopher is a pretty popular thing on SDF here. You could host your Gopher hole on SDF, for example. If you already got hosting, you might still enjoy talking with other Gopher aficionados.
Okay, good question. Yes, I am a member of the SDF, and I am, I can't remember the name, I'm a paying member of the SDF. I've also worked in IT for more than 35 years, so I really enjoy everything having to do with Unix and BSDs and Linux, and I've never used the other OS. Not really. I do use it for things that I have to, but usually I'm on Linux right now, on Fedora, and all my servers are BSD, usually. What else can I tell you about that? I have hosting, which I set up on a Tinker board from Asus Tinker board. That's my Gemini server. And I've really enjoyed setting it up, which is very easy. And I run it here from home. I have a fixed IP address, so I can do that. And it's over at, on Gemini, it's over at Hotel Kilo 4, kilomike.radio. Roger.
Okay, cool. Jotting that down. All right. Well, thank you, Guillermo, for putting up with my questions here. Let's pass it over to Ken and see if he has any questions for you.
Oh, yeah. I was fascinated by what Guillermo had to say there, and I was also amazed that I'm hearing about Gemini twice in one evening. I'm totally unfamiliar with it. I use Linux quite a bit, but I was raised up as a Mac guy, so I use that too. And I'm doing this on a PC, so I keep trading out OSs. I really am amazed by the computing knowledge that goes around in the ham radio circle also. So it's great to hear about that, and thank you very much, Guillermo. That's all I got. Back to you, Wayne.
Okay, thanks, Ken. I see that N4RNW has joined us, Harold down there in Florida. Harold, did you weather the storm okay down there?
Well, good evening, Wayne. Good evening, all on the net. Harold here, N4RNW, right here in Fort Myers, Florida, where the hurricane came through Wednesday. Yeah, Wayne, with your permission, I'll give you a little blurb on what's been going on.
Well, you know, there's only three or four of us in here today, so you have the floor and you can run with it.
All right, good deal. Well, I'm sure everybody has seen the video and the pictures on TV and online of what happened down here this last week. They predicted that this hurricane, which came from the east down around Cuba, would pick up a lot of temperature in the warm water between Cuba and Florida, which it did. It went from a Category 1 all the way up to a Category 4, and it was projected to hit up around Tampa Bay, which is a couple hours north of Fort Myers. Fort Myers is here on the southwest coast of Florida. Hold on. Long story short, it decided to turn, and it came in right offshore of Fort Myers, a little bit north of that, but we got the worst of it. And there are a couple islands right off the coast of Fort Myers and Cape Coral, which the islands are called Fort Myers Beach and Sanibel, and there's a couple other ones out there. But it blasted those islands. It looked like somebody had taken their hand and wiped all the structures clean off the islands. Power out, incredible damage down here. And then it continued inland to where we are. And hold on. Yeah, we're located about 25 miles east of the west coast of Florida and where those islands are. Long story short, we're fine. We stayed here in our house. This storm lasted all day into 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Power went out where we are about noon or 1 o'clock, and we just could only sit here and watch the storm. The house, we put the shutters up, and we had the patio free so we could look out and see the winds. We didn't get a whole lot of rain this far east, but the wind and the gusts were probably up to 140, 150 miles an hour. The only damage we had in our house here were several roof tiles were taken off the roof, and that'll have to be fixed. But that's nothing compared to what those folks are having to go through out on the coast. Hold. Yeah, ever since then, out in Cape Coral, which is between us and the Gulf of Mexico, I don't think they've restored much more than 10% of the people's power out there. And they're working on getting the water going. Those islands were cut off from the mainland. In the case of Sanibel, the causeway that connects Fort Myers and Sanibel, it was damaged, so they can't use that. They have to use helicopters and boats to get the people off, the ones that decided to stay. We lost power, like I said, about noon, 1 o'clock on Wednesday. We went to bed, and we were awakened at about 1 a.m. by the sound of the air conditioner and the lights coming back on. So we were very fortunate that the power was restored, the water was restored the next day, as was the internet and the TV, Wi-Fi, everything came back for us. But still, our hearts go out to those folks out on the far west coast that don't have any of that. Fortunately, the weather has cooled down a little bit. It's been drier. It's always like a sauna when a hurricane comes through and leaves all that heat, humidity behind it. So that's the story here, Wayne. Back to you, N4RNW.
Wow, thank you for your report, Harold. Well, I'm glad that that you and your family there got through it okay. And, yeah, all those people out west there, that's really a bummer there, and I feel for them. Let's see, I wonder, Ken or Guillermo, do you have any questions for Harold?
Okay, not a question. Hello, Harold. Sorry to hear about all the stuff that's going on. My brother lives in Orlando, so they were safe. And he didn't get damage or anything at his home, so they were lucky. And I wish more people had been luckier than they were. And every season seems to be getting worse. So that's my comment on that. Back in it.
Guillermo. Ken, do you have anything?
I also feel a great deal of sympathy for those that really took the hit, and I'm very glad that Harold, you did okay down there. You got off light, as my father would have said. But I keep thinking about Fort Myer because Thomas Edison, one of my boyhood heroes, had a spread down there, and I wonder how that turned out. Probably not good. Anyway, it's just I haven't really connected up with Florida folks too much. I have a colleague that is down there, but he's on the other side of the state, so I assume it's better over there. My brother said that Maryland was taking a hit, so I need to connect up with people and see how they ultimately did. But anyway, great report. Thank you so much, Harold, for that. This is KD9NDJ.
Okay. I'm checking the dashboard here, and I do not see any new call signs. But just in case there's somebody out there trying to get in on the NV0X gateway, let me back up and say that this is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net, Sierra Delta Foxtrot. Stands for Super Dimension Fortress. Public access Unix system. You can learn more at sdf.org. And if you would like to check into our net, come forward now with your call sign. Okay, nothing heard from the gateway, so I'm open to any rechecks if anyone has anything else that they would like to talk about this week. Otherwise, we can close the net up. It's been a pretty good net, 40 minutes with four check-ins, but we talked about a lot of stuff, so this has been a nice net. So anyway, do we have any rejects? Okay, nothing heard. So I would like to thank all of you who have joined us this week. This has been an enjoyable net, learned a lot of new stuff here, and caught up on recent events. So Where am I here? This concludes this week's SDF Amateur Radio Club at, let's call it 0041 Zulu. If you would like to, well, yeah, there's still the AfterNet and the SDF DMR talk group 31650. Check that out if you're on DMR. Otherwise, you can join us in comm on the SDF over in the Anon Radio Room. So this is AB9FJ saying 73 for now.
Okay, thanks to all, and hope to catch you again next week. This is Hotel Kilo 4, Kilo Mike, saying good night.
And good night in 73 from Fort Myers, Florida, and for RNW. Yeah, Guillermo, yeah, it went up to Orlando, we heard, and glad everything is good up there.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm also glad. I hope more people would be, you know, just as well. Okay, good night, everybody. I tried to get on the radio to listen to the program, not through through this medium, but through the talk group, but I didn't have any luck. And last time I tried All Star, and that wasn't on either. So maybe next week. Okay, have a good one, everybody. 73s from Columbia.